Today's scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 6. If you were in church when you were a little person, you will have heard Ephesians 6:1 probably more than once. Charisma has the reading for us today, so if you'll come on up.
Okay, so, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord.
Very good. Let's thank God for his word. Let's pray. Lord God, as always, we are grateful to you that you speak to us no matter what age we are, Lord, whether we're old or young. Your will for us is laid up in your word. So we ask you, Lord God, that both for the young and old today, you would quicken our ears, our hearts, to receive what you have for us today. In Jesus Christ we pray, amen. All right, saints, you'll remember that this section that we're in consists of specific applications of a general charge to believers. If you go all the way back to chapter 5 and verse 21 and just lay your eyes on that verse where it said, submitting to one another in the fear of God, right? Out of reverence for God or for Christ, right? Submissiveness is the chief Christian grace, or as the book of James puts it, a willingness to yield or a readiness to yield. It's one of the foremost Christian character qualities, right? Christians are willing to forego having their own way because, as James puts it, the wisdom that comes down from above and rests upon us is pure. It's what? It's peaceable. Okay? It's peaceable. And that's different from our natural self-centered attitude that we have when we're born, which, you know, that attitude that tends to get grouchy or irritated or defiant or confrontational whenever we don't get what we want, whenever we're denied what we want. Okay, everybody in this room, children and elderly alike, we know the experience of getting steamed up when we didn't get something our way, when the parents said, no, you can't have that. No, I forbid it. Okay, it's when you come to the Lord Jesus, it's an eye-opener, isn't it, to start to comprehend that God in the beginning ordained this order for the family, okay? God has a will for the family and for each member of it, the little ones and the grown-ups. And his structure for the family isn't arbitrary. You know, he didn't toss a coin when it came to the men and the women and say, you know, heads, I'm going to put the man in charge, and tails, I'm going to put the woman in. You know, it's not, right? He has a reason, right? It's the wisdom of God that caused him to form the family in the way that he did. And as I've said, Paul here is teaching the families in the Ephesian church, okay, so teaching you, these families, he's teaching them how the Christian grace of submissiveness applies in three pairs of home relationships. First it was husband-wife, then it's children-parents, and then it's going to be servants and masters. Okay, because the redeemed life of Christ, if you've become Christians, the redeemed life is lived out, especially in those relationships that are the closest, right there in the home. Put off your natural instincts of selfishness, pride, self-centeredness. Learn how to humble yourself. Be filled with the Holy Spirit and find out. Okay, he addresses even the little ones. Find out what God wants you to do. What kind of behavior pleases the Lord? And as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay, especially those in your household. Submit to one another in reverence for the Lord. Okay, so we're turning then to the matter of God's will for children. And first of all, I want to point out something that I think it's very important for parents, grandparents, and for the church at large to hear. It's been pointed out that the way that these New Testament letters were intended for use, right, the way they were disseminated, is that they were supposed to be read aloud to the assembled congregation. Okay, Colossians and 1 Thessalonians both have verses that show that Paul expected that his letters were going to be read to the whole church. Okay? I charge you by the Lord to read this epistle to all the brethren. Okay? So when Paul says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Okay? And similar things in other letters, he's expecting that the children of the families are present in the assembly. Okay? They're there with the adults. Okay? And there is none of this, you know, let's shuffle the kids off to another room and let them have a game and a snack and a craft while we, the grown-ups, do the grown-up thing, that is, you know, sit at the Lord's feet and listen to his word. Listening to the word of God is for the children also. Okay, and I want to get ahead of myself a little bit and address the grown-ups. Bringing children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord means having them here in the meeting. Okay? It means having them participate in singing the songs. It means having them open the Bible and look and read it. It means having them, as best as they can, listen to the message. Okay? Now, I know that children's attention span is shorter than a grown-up's, okay? But it is incumbent upon the adults to take that situation in hand and teach their children how to conduct themselves in the house of the Lord. Okay, there's a time for playing later today. Okay, there is a time for a snack later today. Right now, we are in the presence of God and we're going to listen to the word of God. Okay, and children today, they're no different from children back then. And if parents back then could have their children in the assembly and expect obedience from them, then parents today can do the same. Okay, why did the children get, okay, it's a simple matter of intentionality. Why did the children get brought to church today? Is it to participate or to not participate? Okay, it's to participate, right? Did you bring them to listen or to not listen? You brought them to listen, okay? So we bring our kids to church to learn the ways of God. So my poor children will testify that over the years, as they grew up, there were plenty of times when I had to tell them, now look, church is not the time to draw doodles. It's not the time to lay across the pew. It's not the time to play with cars. Okay? When we stand up, you stand up. When we open the book and sing, you look in the book and follow the words and sing. When we pray, try to listen to, you know, okay, we're talking to God, so try to listen and try to figure out what's going on. And some parents will give their child the phone or some other electronic device or some other distraction. And basically, you're sending the child a message that this doesn't involve you, okay? You're not important right now. You're not participating in this. And really, nothing is expected of you. So, you know, just don't make noise, okay? The grown-ups are doing the grown-up thing, so just keep quiet for a half an hour or so. Children are currently in the habit-forming stages of life, are they not? Okay, their parents and their grandparents or whoever it is that brings children to church have to be conscientious to form the proper habits and practices in the young ones that they bring to church. And I think the worst thing that we can do is to give them the impression that you're not involved. Okay, it's okay for you to tune out the word of God because that, you know, that's just for the grown-ups. Don't sell your child short and say to them, you know, these things are just too difficult for children. They don't get them, you know, they can't understand them. Children understand more than you think they do. And secondly, how else are they going to learn the deep things of God unless you expose them to them starting as young as possible? Take the case if you wanted to have your child become a musician. You have the child listen to lots and lots of different kinds of music all the time, you know, from the very get-go, at a very early age. No parent who wanted his child to be a musician would say, you know, my kid's only five, he's too young to start listening to Mozart. Okay, I'll just wait till he's 12. You know, until he gets older, it's just going to be Raffi and, you know, Sesame Street songs and that sort of thing. Okay, of course, a five-year-old cannot understand and read the full orchestral score. You know, he cannot understand all of the intricacies and theory and technique of masterful composition. but he's never too young to start absorbing. You know, he can hear melodies. He can start, detecting themes. He can start, making comparisons between pieces, right? He can make connections. He can trace out motifs and themes and concepts and so on. You understand what I'm saying? The apostle addresses the children. 1, 2, 3, 4. These guys aren't children anymore, but they're my children. Okay, he addresses you kids directly. Okay, here in Ephesians 6, meaning they're in the assembly with their parents, and they're not shunted off to a babysitter. So this is my opinion. I know other pastors are different. I know they have their rationale, but I, for one, am not a fan of junior church. Okay, it sends a message to a child of low expectations. Okay, we know kids can't handle this stuff, so it's better to just, put them in that room. Okay, but if you hold children to a low standard of expectations, what you get in the end is low performance. Okay, children should be included in the meeting, and the parents or the aunt or grandparents or whoever it is should make clear to them what's expected of them, and no bribes. Okay, no begging. Okay, you make sure the child knows why this is important, and you refuse to put up with, with shenanigans or with manipulation or tears or misbehavior. Children, obey your parents. Parents, bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Which of those two groups has God put in charge? It's the grown-ups. Okay, expect obedience and you'll get it. Okay, so then there's a case of sometimes when children come to church without their parents, and at least somebody in the church, and this would normally fall to the person who brings them, but sometimes they're there just on their own, somebody must take the responsibility to sit with children and show them this is how we conduct ourselves in the meeting with God. Isn't that what we're doing? We're meeting. Right? Why did we come to? We didn't come here to take a nap. We didn't come to play Buzz Lightyear. We didn't come to color with crayons. Right? We came to meet with God, who made us. He loves us. Okay, and we're presenting ourselves to Him with worship. We're going to communicate with Him, and He's going to speak to us. Okay, it is a high business. I grant it. It's a high business, but if you make it your objective to have high expectations for children, you're going to get them. And, I talk to myself, preachers, you have to remember that kids are part of your audience, right? You have to be able to make it accessible to children so that they don't say, I have no idea what this is all about, okay? It's not a preacher's goal or his job to impress the congregation with his vocabulary and, abstract things of great knowledge. His job is to help each one, including the little ones, grow up in their faith. Okay, so, Pastor, just make a mental note of that. You've got to be able to let the children understand what you're talking about. So remember our friend, our young friend Timothy from the Bible. What does it say about Timothy? It says, from childhood, you have known the Holy Scriptures. Okay, why? How did that happen? It's because your mother and your grandmother were women of sincere faith, and you learned it from them because they were intentional about taking little boy Timothy to the synagogue and hearing the grown-ups talk about the Word of God. And Paul says to Timothy, I'm convinced that the same spirit that was in your mother and your grandmother is also in you. Okay, that only happens when the grown-ups are intentional about including the child in the meetings of the assembly. Okay, so remember, parents, grandparents, whoever it is, whenever you're going to bring a child to church, you also have somebody to obey, right? Not just the child, but you have somebody to obey, and the choice really isn't up to you. That child has been entrusted to you to train. Okay, now with that being said, let's turn to the content of the apostle's word. So have a look again. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Notice the parallel from before with the wife and the husband. The wife was appointed by God to the subordinate role of the marriage. Husband is the head of the wife. And so Paul spoke to the wife first because the commandment to submit is more appropriate for her. Okay, and he told her, submit to your own husband in everything. Okay, but then, of course, the scripture went and put a safeguard in place so that this doesn't go badly for her. Okay, teaches the husband how to be a man just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, it's going to be the same idea now for children. Okay, it's children who are to submit to their parents, not the other way around. Okay, children obey. Children honor your father and mother. Okay, but children, if you're afraid that this is somehow going to go badly for you, it's going to ruin your happiness or whatever, just have a look there at verse 4 and see that God will have something to say to your parents as well. Okay, God doesn't give your parents permission to rule over you with an iron fist. It is not God's will that parents be harsh or unreasonable or unpredictable. Okay, but we're going to get to them. First, for today, what does the Holy Spirit say to you, children? Obedience is right. Disobedience is wrong. Obedience is right. Okay, it's what is good. Okay, so a few things about obeying parents, and if your parents or grandparents will take this in, and if, like I said about spouses, if you're going to someday be a parent, it's worth paying close attention. So the first thing is, and I say this to children, everybody has to learn to obey, right? I mean, there's only one who is the absolute ruler and king of everything and who, like the Bible says, who does whatever he pleases, right? There's only one that no one can prevent him from accomplishing whatever he wishes to do, okay? And God is in that position because he made everything, okay? God made human beings. We only even draw breath because God gives us life, right? And so it's absolutely necessary to admit that God has a right of rulership and ownership over us, and we don't belong entirely to ourselves, and we can't ever point our finger at God and saying, I'm not going to obey you, okay? You can't fight against the Almighty and win, and that applies to everyone. Children are not the only ones who find themselves in this position saying, why do I have to obey? Okay, whether you are 10 or 35 or 65, you have to obey somebody because God is greater than us all. Okay, so children have to learn to obey. Your grandparents had to learn. Your parents had to learn. You have to learn. Okay, and when you have children, it'll be your responsibility to teach them. Okay, they're going to have to learn. God's will is that there is an orderliness to life, right? If we're going to have peace and happiness, it can't just be every man for himself. Everybody just does whatever he wants. There have to be rules and boundaries, okay? Just to say, for example, you know, you can't just walk into somebody's house and take their things, can you? There has to be rules. Somebody's got to say, no, you can't just hit somebody in the face because you disagree with them. No, it's not safe for you to go there at night. No, I don't. It's not right for you to sit around all your life being lazy while everybody else does all the work and provides home food and clothes for you, okay? And so on and so forth, right? There are rules and boundaries in life, and God has put people in your lives that he has given the responsibility of preserving and upholding those rules that bring about peace for everybody, okay? There are people in life. Not just God, but there are people in life that we have to obey. Obviously, parents are first. There's your teacher, okay? There's police and there's judges that uphold the laws, right? There are laws and there are people that uphold the laws, and it's only on a very rare occasion when God may say that it's okay to disobey those people. Okay, there's a verse where Peter says, we must obey God rather than man, right? When man says, do this, and God says, no, do the opposite, you have to obey God, okay? But you still have to obey somebody, right? Okay, and if you're disobedient all around, your life is going to self-destruct very quickly, right? Because you're not God. You may wish that everybody would do what you want them to do, okay? You may want the grown-ups to give you everything that you say, I want that, okay? But as a Christian child, you understand that you don't possess God's right to be completely served and obeyed. Okay, a child does not possess that. None of us do. But as a Christian child, you have to begin to recognize that. And you, if you can't admit that, then you're not a Christian. Okay, because that's what repentance is. It is that coming to God and saying, you were right, I was wrong. Okay, you are great and I am small. You are righteous and I am a sinner. And if you haven't gotten that far, you're not a Christian. Okay, and that's what Jesus was dying on the cross. That's what that was all about, right? It's to pay for your sins. That's okay. If you haven't got to that point of repentance and humility before God, you can't be filled with the Holy Spirit until you have come to that point, right? You can't please God until you have come to that point. Okay, you know what Romans 10:9 says? You have to confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Okay, if he's Lord, that means he has the right to command and to expect obedience. Okay, so that's the first thing. Everybody has to learn to obey, but specifically then for children, the most important people to learn to obey are dad and mom. Okay, this is right. Right? It's right because God is the one who designed the human family in this way. Okay, he designed the human race to propagate and fill the earth in this fashion. It's like I said the other week about Adam and Eve. You know, he could have created her differently, but he chose a certain technique. It's the same thing with the whole race. He did not create us all independently and all at once. Okay, he made it so that a dad and a mom make a baby, and that the baby is brought up by the dad and the mom until that baby becomes a young person and then a godly adult. That's the objective, right? He made humanity to function in that way. So he's the one who puts the parents in the child's life. Or more, it's more accurate to say he's the one who gives children to parents, right? The parents were there first. So to rebel against the parents and to reject their authority over you, that's right. They have a God-given responsibility to shape the child. So to reject that is to reject God. Okay. Now, obviously, and you know, it hardly needs saying, not all sets of parents are the same. Okay. Sometimes the parents are Christians and they're good ones. Sometimes the parents are people of faith, but they're too strict, or they're too lenient. Or I think maybe this is the fault of every parent, they're inconsistent. You know, something is allowable one day, but the next day, you know, that you do it and the parent blows their stack. Okay? Sometimes mom or dad brings home an attitude from work with them, right? They had a bad day at work, they come home in a thundercloud and they yell at the kids for why this or why that. Okay, it's not their fault. Okay? Some parents aren't Christians at all. Sometimes Christian kids have parents that are opposed to their Christianity. Some kids have parents that are just out and out bad people, you know, ill-tempered, foul-mouthed, sinful. Everybody's situation is different. Okay, and so a first reaction, okay, hearing Ephesians 6:1 for the first time, the child may say, Paul, you're taking a one-size-fits-all approach, and it's not one-size-fits-all. Okay? You don't understand my parents. You don't understand my situation. I would just say be very cautious about telling the Holy Spirit that he doesn't know what he's talking about, okay? That he doesn't mean what he says, okay? Well, what if my dad's rules are unfair? All my friends get to do such and such. You know, I'm the only one who doesn't get to. Why can't I? My teacher says it's okay. My friends say it's okay. The internet says it's okay. How am I going to be accepted by my peers? How am I going to be cool or popular or whatever unless I do what everybody else is doing? Okay, but the scripture doesn't say, children, obey your parents in the Lord unless somebody else gives you permission not to. It doesn't say, obey your parents in the Lord unless they're being unfair. It doesn't say, obey your parents in the Lord unless it's uncool and other people are making fun of you. Okay, notice those words, in the Lord. Okay, children in the Lord. Okay, Christian children, that is. Right, Christian children know certain things. They know who Jesus is. Right, they have an understanding of sin and righteousness. They have an understanding of of law and violations of the law, and then repentance and forgiveness. They've come to know Christ as their good shepherd and their rescuer and the savior of sinners, right? Both themselves and hopefully their parents, right? Christ saves both kids and grown-ups. Okay, children, you're in the Lord. And the Lord is speaking to you, and the Lord has something to say to you about your mom and your dad, right? And like I said, there are only rare instances in which disobedience to parents is permissible. And really, it boils down pretty much to wickedness. You know, if they want you to sin, then you have to refuse them. Okay, if the Lord commands you to do one thing, your parents command you to do the opposite, that's when you have to, with a heavy heart, say, Mom, Dad, no, I can't do what you say. And show your parents, it grieves me to disobey you, but this is what God says. But failing that, you know, if it's not out-and-out wickedness or sin, you have to go a long way to obeying your parents, even if it, you know, if it seems to really go against your sense of fairness. Okay? The right thing to do, right? What's the last word of verse 1? It's right. This is right. Okay, the right thing to do is to obey your parents and kids, and all of us once were kids. You know how sometimes you obey with a huffing and a puffing and you say, fine. No, don't do it that way. Don't try to get away with it and, you know, when the parents are not looking. Okay, I'll obey while you're here, but as soon as you leave the room, I'm going to do what I want. Don't make your parents ask you 3 and 4 and 5 times until they start to get red in the face, okay? To do that is to disobey, okay? And it's not just disobeying your parents, it's disobeying God, okay? Quickly obey when they say whatever it is that they're telling you to do, whether it's, you know, clean your room, do your homework, do your chores, help me out around here. No, I'm sorry, but you're not allowed to go. I know all your friends are going, but you're not going. Even if it's unfair, even if it's unreasonable, okay, if you're a Christian child, obedience is important for the sake of your own conscience. It's important for the sake of your Christian witness. It's important for the sake of your relationship with the Lord, okay? You want to be able to pray and have your prayers answered, and the foundation of that relationship between you and God is one of obedience, okay? And God says, points to them and says, okay, now you obey them. Okay, do it for your own sake, do it for my sake. Look back to what Paul said to the wives. It's the same phrase there, verse 22. Submit to your husbands, what? As unto the Lord. Okay, so it's just exactly the same thing here for kids. In the Lord, right? You're in the Lord. I admit, okay, I have parents. I am a parent. Let's just admit, parents are sometimes in the wrong, okay? Just flat out, like, your parents are not perfect. They're in that case, sometimes they will be unfair, or they will be illogical. They will be just plain old stubborn. I hate to say it, but sometimes parents can just be mean. The commandment remains, obey your parents, okay? Because for you, that's what's right. You let God deal with them, okay? What can you do as a Christian kid? Pray for your parents, right? Pray for the Lord to work on your parents. Talk with your parents, right? And not, you know, try to understand your mom and dad's motives for why they forbid this or that, or why they charge you with this and that, and not angrily with hostility, you know, why not, why, you know? But Mom, I'm just trying to, where are you coming from? Okay, I will obey you, but can you please just explain to me why this is so important to you? Maybe you will gain some insight from your parents, or maybe you'll be able to give them some insight. This is how families grow. It's how parents and children, how the ties between parents and children grow closer when parents and kids talk and reason things out, and not just barking orders, and not just, you know, unhesitating obedience, but when there is a conflict, you know, when there is something that the child doesn't want to do, but the parent says, do this, or the other way around, Mom, Dad, why? Can you please explain to me? Okay, and you know what I would say most of all? Read your Bible. I keep coming back to this, but lay up the word of God in your heart, okay? From a young age, read as much as you can, figure it out, ask the questions, read lots of Proverbs, okay? Proverbs to me is huge for you, for young people. You learn a lot about how to live. You learn a lot about honesty and loyalty and about diligence and about obedience, about slothfulness, these sorts of things. Okay, read Proverbs. Look in the Bible for examples of other people that were treated unfairly and how did they react. So you can look in the book of Acts and find plenty of examples of that. You know, people who were righteously, okay, they were righteous, but they were treated unfairly. David, book of 1 Samuel, okay, read the story of David. Of course, the Lord Jesus himself, right, who he suffered, right? He's righteous, he was maltreated, he was treated unfairly. How did he respond to being treated unfairly? He committed himself into the hands of his Father. He entrusted him. He prayed for his enemies, right? He trusted God to look down upon himself and do justice. Either change the heart of this person or punish the evildoer, one or the other, according to God's wisdom. Okay, but as for me, a young Christian person, you know, the attitude of David, as for me, I am not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed, right? As for me, a child who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am not going to lift up my heart against the ones that God has put in authority over me. I want my parents to know that I love them, I pray for them, I want them to know that God loves them. I want to have a good family relationship together, and that my part in that relationship for now, while I'm young, is obey, is to obey. Okay, and the other thing is, you just have to realize that you're not going to get everything you want in life. Okay, there are disappointments, there are denials. Sometimes you lose out on things that you, by right, should have had. It happens. Parents blow it sometimes. They sin too, okay? You mustn't grow bitter against your parents and reject their authority, okay? Look out at the world and see how casually and regularly children ignore their parents. They disdain their parents. They roll their eyes at their parents. They even shout at them and curse at them and scream. You're not them, okay? You're in the Lord, children, okay? Maybe your friends treat their parents that way or your classmates do, but you as Christians, okay, you please the Lord, right? Be quick to listen, quick to honor, quick to obey. And look, if you've been disobedient, just go to your parents and say, I apologize, right? I'm sorry. Since I belong to the Lord Jesus, I'm going to do my best from now on to be responsive to you, to listen, to do as you say, and I hope that we will grow closer together, okay? Take it from Philippians. Here's from Philippians. Do everything without complaining or arguing so that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you will shine brightly as lights in the world. Okay, children of God, he didn't mean it that way, but that's what you can be, children. You can be blameless and harmless if you obey the Lord God in everything. All right, let us pray, and we'll ask him to form Christ in each of us, especially our young ones. Lord God, thank you for your word to us. Lord, in your eyes, we're all very, very young and immature, and we thank you, Father, that, well, first of all, that you're our Father, that you've reached into our lives in a fatherly way. You teach us what's right and what's wrong. You discipline us, Lord, when we need it. But we know how dearly you love us, and you've told us that we can trust you no matter what happens, Lord. May our parents fit that same model. May we as parents or grandparents be the same towards our children and grandchildren. And Lord, for our little ones, and I speak from their point of view right now, I ask you, Lord, to fill our children with your Holy Spirit. May they understand their responsibility, their honor and dignity as your born-again ones, Lord, to obey their parents, to love and honor, and to respect, Lord, whatever it is that their parents would have them to do. And may you form Christ in every individual member of each of our families. Thank you once again, Lord, for your word. Thank you for parents and children, and for your fatherly love toward us in your Son, Jesus Christ. In him we pray, amen.